All right. Well, like I said, I didn't know for sure which way the message was going this morning. And can I tell you a little something? It changed. And it changed. God had actually spoke to my heart earlier this week about this, about being childlike. When we're children, what's our number one goal? Grow up. And when we're adults, what's our number one goal? Try to go back. We're constantly trying to go back to when life was simpler. And, you know, and I've talked to my boys. I said, you know, there's a lot of things that were a lot simpler. I said, you know, back when I was a child, I didn't pay the taxes. I didn't have to worry about the electric bill or putting the roof over the head, our heads, or the groceries or any of that. But I said, looking back, I also didn't have a car. I didn't have this. I didn't have that. So I said, it kind of starts balancing out. And, you know, I can so remember in teenage years, I just can't wait to grow up. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait to get up, get a car, move out, blah, 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 do whatever. And then I just remembered thinking later on in life, I was like, man, Lord, I've known you since I was about 8. Why do I still feel like a child? Shouldn't I feel grown up? And there did come a point where I felt mature. But the truth of the matter is, mature faith and growing up are two different things. I should say getting old, right? I may get older, but I refuse to grow up. But when it comes to our faith, we're more focused anymore on how to manipulate it, how to coerce things, make things happen for us, or sometimes even others. When you're a child, it's not that way, is it? Somebody tells you something, and this is why there's so many scars today. So when you're a child, you believe what mom and dad tell you. And there may be reasons why that didn't happen, or maybe your parents were just bona fide liars. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. There are people that are just flat out liars. They cannot speak the truth if it was to save their own life. But what happens is when you're a child and you start realizing you believed a lie, you start building up a hard shell around your heart and you don't believe anything anymore. You don't believe that there's a God, let alone a good God. You don't believe that God wants you to be happy, that God wants to see you successful. Somewhere along the line, religion creeped in into our relationships with God. And, well, God has to be this. God has to be that. We've got to see things differently through God. And you know what? Totally unscriptural. Jesus said, unless you receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you will not enter it. This, I want to tell you, folks, is the same kingdom the Apostle Paul talked about. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, they're all one. And you cannot receive it unless you receive it as a little child does. So you have to go back and think, how was it when I was a little child? How many of you remember being told about Santa Claus? Somewhere along the line, some of you, how many of you believed in Santa Claus? Okay. Who am I to shoot it down? See, You believe something because your parents told you about something good. Santa Claus wasn't Krampus or Krampus, however you want to say it. It's spelled with an A. He's the opposite. And when you believe something, you fully expected on Christmas morning you were getting up and there was going to be a present for you from Santa Claus under that tree. Somewhere along the line, then we decided, you know what? Well, you know, we made up this false story about there being a Santa. Well, we got to tell them they got to be good. If you're not good, Santa Claus won't bring you anything. You do realize that Santa Claus was supposed to be a representation of God. So what we've told ourselves now as we've grown up is, if I'm not good, God won't do anything for me. And so far from the truth. God will orchestrate things. He will allow things to happen to bring you back because he loves you. But I want you to understand this. God is not a schizophrenic sociopath. He's a heavenly father. He's not a torturer waiting to smack you down every chance he gets. He's a good God. Things happen on this earth because we make decisions. Anybody made a decision today? Everybody did. You made a decision to get up. I was having a real good dream. I found gold. I found a bunch of gold in a creek. And I was trying to get back to it. And then my wife says, honey, you need to get up. You got to shower. No, I don't. But you see, we believe those things because our parents told us. Now, our boys have never believed in Santa Claus. We came out flat out and told them the truth about Santa. I have no problems with Santa Claus. Okay? I don't really care. Because I think if that's how we have to start to get people to start seeing God, but God's not waiting to give you coal. God's not waiting to do this to you or do that to you. God gave you his son. He gave you the very best gift he could ever give you. And he said, I'll give you so much more that I don't think is as important, but I'll give it to you. But you're going to have to receive it just like a little child did, just like you did when somebody told you that Santa Claus. I believed in the tooth fairy. I used to get a nickel or a dime. And then I don't remember what happened. I think it just kind of fizzled out. But I believed more in the bad things in life than I did the good. Because I saw bad. You know, it's not just this country, folks. It's in the world. The number one thing the devil is destroying are families. He's attacking moms and dads, the children. Jesus even said it, in the end times, it will be father against son and mother against daughter. And that's happening. We've got fathers that have been with their families for years and years and years and years, and then suddenly they just decide they're leaving. It's not cool. The devil is destroying families today, left and right, because of the potential that each and every one of our children has. My family, my parents stayed together, but it was surely by the grace of God. I remember several times they were going to get a divorce. And yet, God knew they had to stay together. Because at that point, they hadn't had all the children yet. But the devil wanted to destroy them. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy every family. And he starts when you're a child. That's why people are carrying scars. There's not a person sitting in here without a scar. And it goes back to our upbringing. But here's what I want to remind you, folks. Those people that we're looking at, and you hurt me, and you know what? And that's what, people hurt people, don't they? That's what happens. Santa Claus didn't hurt me. The Easter Bunny didn't hurt me. Batman didn't hurt me. It was real people. And you know what I found out? Most of those people were hurting. They were carrying their own scars. And they're trying. And I'm going to tell you, as a grown-up, as an adult, I still don't think I'm too grown up. I still get yelled at with my children. And sometimes even get yelled at with the dog. The older I've gotten, I guess the more mature I've gotten, I've realized those people didn't know how to act because they didn't have a good example. And it goes back. The devil has been doing this for centuries. And what happened in the middle of the last century was devastating to the whole world. Not only did the United States lose, I forget how many men and even women in war, but what about the other countries? So now we have sons being raised up that don't know how to be a man. And the truth of the matter is, what Jesus talked about is, we got to come in as a child. When you're a child, you know, I had to, Kyle standing there with Nicholas on his shoulder, and I leaned over Rob and I said, it's over. He's going down. He just got that glassy look in his eyes. And then I saw his clothes and he fought it. And I said, yeah, I said, I remember doing that last night, and woke up at 2:00 in the morning on the couch. And then he just started laying his head on his dad's shoulder. See, what happens is we let the scars get in the way. Jesus came to make all things new, including your heart. I'm going to tell you right now, forgiveness is the hardest thing to do. You've got to let it go. Jesus was sent as a child. And folks, I'm going to tell you this. We tell this story and imagine, and I'm glad we do. Because if we told the story and the truth and the reality of life, this story would be almost depressing. But you need to understand, Jesus had to experience the same things you did. Joseph was a righteous man. But fathers, even those of us who've been predominantly in the church, we know we weren't always the easiest. And the more we see potential in our children, the more, sometimes the harder we are on them. But Jesus had to learn to grow past that and still have compassion on people. The fact that the disciples reacted, you know, I would love to just see it. It'd have been a fly on a tree leaf at that day when Jesus was sitting out under a tree, maybe sitting on a rock. He's been preaching, and all these little children come up. Now, this tells you the mindset of religion. They start shooing away the children. Get away, get away, get away. Jesus said, stop. Don't push them away from me. Because I'm going to tell you right now, unless you become as one of them, you will by no means receive the kingdom. They recognized that love. And just as Nicholas there, he was on his daddy's shoulder. He turned his head a little bit and then he just decided, no, this isn't comfortable. I watched as he slid down. Didn't tell Dad, I'm changing positions, Dad. Just knew that his daddy had him. And he slid down in there, stuck his face in the crook of his arm. And then realized that that's hot air and rolled around. You see, that's the way a child interacts with their dad. I know you've got me. And Jesus knew God had him. And he's trying to get it through his disciples' minds to change. Because religion had creeped in and said, this is how you act. Rigid. Folks, if we pay attention to anything in the Bible, take the law and shove it to the sides. And look at the Father. Jesus told the parable of the father who lost a son. The son decided to go off, wanted his share. Went off and lived a wild life. And he looked every day for that boy to come back. And when he did, don't you know he was standing up, he might have been one of these guys that actually had a tower on his house, or he was just up on the rooftop, and he was looking over the horizon. And when he saw that figure coming over, he threw off his robe, ran down those steps, and took out across that field and tackled his son. That's the Father. God is not a meanie. All the things we are dealing with in the world, I need you to understand, is because of us. Decisions we've made. And we blame God. Everything started in the Garden of Eden. It was because Adam chose to take something that wasn't his. And all this blew up. I've read accounts where Adam was depressed the rest of his life. 900 and some years. And we think dealing with depression once or twice a month or whatever, if you have to battle that. He dealt with it every day because he saw the effects of what he had done. You know, there's an estimated, I read an estimate on how many people would have been on the planet before the flood. And they estimate there was over 1 billion people. And Adam has to look and see them. And I don't remember who estimated it. It was something I found in biblical archives. He had to look as people killed each other, lied to each other, stole. Men rose up and said, I'm a god, worship me. I'm a king, bow to me. We our new creation. We should receive what we've gotten just like we were when we were innocent. You know, there does come a day of accountability when a child is old enough to know. I've heard of people spanking their little children who are just learning to talk for lying. I've actually seen it. The problem is the child is a child. I've not jumped, I mean, I've tore into my boys. You can ask them. But there are things that I've realized that's a part of being a child. And sometimes the best thing to do is let you learn it. You got to get off the training wheel sometime. God sent Jesus into the world, not to condemn the world, but that through him we would be saved. I told you earlier, he came to set us free from the law of sin and death. There's so much on this earth still to be done. We don't have time to be bitter. We don't have time to be judgmental and critical. We've got to love people. We've got to show that love. We've got to be the light in this world. And if you claim Christ as your Savior, that is your responsibility. But I want to tell you something. I've said it many times before, and I'll say it again. The business of church sickens me. I'm just disgusted when I get contacted to build the church this way. Here's how to fill your seats. Here's how to fill your... And here's the number one thing, how to get a bigger offering. That means the ministry is about money. And that's not what this ministry is about. I'll teach you about tithing and sowing offerings. Because there's not one of you faithful tithers or people who have sown faithfully seeds who God has not blessed and done things for. But the ministry is you. I was not kidding when I said this couldn't go on without you. Because each one of us, when we go out, God calls us. We don't, you know, you realize you don't have to preach on sin. I wish people quit talking about sin. Jesus actually didn't talk that much about sin. He talked about how we as believers should be acting, how we should be treating each other. Have you ever paid attention to that? Most of that was how we should be treating each other. But yet we think our call is to go out and stand on a preach corner or a street corner and preach about sin. You're not going to win homosexuals over doing that. You aren't going to win drug addicts and alcoholics over. You're only going to win them over through love. And the only time they're going to soften up is when you listen to them. I don't quote too many saints, but Saint Francis said this: preach always, and if necessary, use words. Jesus did so much more. You know, the night that he was betrayed, he leaned over, and he actually told Judas, he said, "What you've got to do, go and do it quickly." You know why I believe he had to tell him to do it quickly? Because there was just a narrow window before Judas would realize, "What am I doing?" I mean, think about it. Jesus handpicked him. And it wasn't, and he ministered. He was one of those that laid hands on people and they were healed and demons were cast out. He was one of those. We've painted him in our mind as this perverted little twisted greedy freak. When the truth of the matter is, now we got that in the church. And Jesus leaned over and he said, what you got to do, do it quickly. And because Jesus was in a habit of helping people, doing things, they thought he had told Judas to take some money and go give it to the poor. You know, he did more than he ever said. That's why John, I believe it was, wrote, if all the actions of Jesus could be recorded, not all the books in the world could hold them. Because he did so much more than he said. Because word without action is just a book. Right? So I want you all to remember that. I don't know why, like I said, that's the message. It wasn't the message I was gearing up for. But we've got to become as children again. Waiting for Christmas morning. Excited to see what Santa Claus brought. Because God sent Jesus. The whole reason we're here. Let's stand. I do want to do one thing. I don't do it every Sunday, but I want to do it today. I would ask everybody to bow your heads, please. If you don't know Jesus, I'm not saying if you've accepted Jesus, you're saved. But you've not done that. I want you to raise your hand. Now, if you've accepted him before, you are saved. You don't have to do it again. I'm going to pray for everybody in here today. And the reason I'm going to pray for them, for everybody, is because you're all carrying a scar. And the scars happen because of life and because of decisions that people have made, good or bad. But it's time for scars to heal. Eventually, you can't find a scar. It just disappears. Father, I pray for each and every person in here today. Lord, you know the scars they carry. You know what hurt them, what created that scar. Lord, I pray right now that you move in their hearts. Touch them. Heal them. Father, help them to forgive and to let it go. Lord, I pray now that as you move in their lives, Father, that you will replace the damaged tissue in their lives with joy, with peace. I thank you, Father, that you're moving mightily, that you're touching each and every one of them. Father, and from this day forward, whenever the depression, whenever the sorrow comes back, Lord God, you will remind them they are healed of that and that you've replaced it with joy and forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, this will be the last time we get together before we celebrate Christmas. So be, oh, okay.
Every year I come up here and I try to thank you guys. How do you thank people that absolutely have made your life so much better and continue to do so?
every week with your message and your love. We thank you with all our hearts. Monetary is not enough. However, we choose to do this. We honor you with this. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And we love you very, very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you, everybody. You know, we really aren't joking. I mean, I'm glad I said all that I said earlier before, so you don't think I'm trying to just smooze a little. But, you know, it's not about the price of the gift. It's not about the size of the gift or the quantity. Sometimes, just being there. Don't get sucked into the vortex that has become commercialism. Gifts are great, and they're fun. It's why we like to do this. Even stingy old people will open up their wallets a little bit this time of the year. But our joy should not be based in the fact that we've got a Christmas tree and lights and this and that. Our joy should be based in the fact that in a Christian's heart, we have Christmas year round. We celebrate the reason. Don't get bent out of shape if somebody tells you happy holidays. Christmas is not that old of a deal. In the grand scheme of things, it's relatively new. But let's not get offended. Oh, there's Santa Claus. Or I know that person ringing the bell. They're a drug addict. Well, at least they're out there ringing the bell. What are you doing? They ain't stealing the money. I can assure you that. But this is a season for us sometimes to shut our mouths and throw away the key and just enjoy the things God has given us. So, having said all that, Merry Christmas. And I will pray and bless you, and we will be dismissed. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you once again for the many, many wonderful things you've done in our lives. And Father, as we celebrate this season of joyous gift giving and family fellowship, Lord, I pray that for everybody in here, Lord, that their family get-togethers will be full of peace and joy. Lord, that contentions will be put on the back burners. And Father, I thank you and praise you as you move through their lives and through their days, that they will remember that you are the reason that we celebrate. And now, Father, I thank you once again for each and every person in here. Father, I know many things you've done in their lives, and I know many of them are still standing, believing and trusting you for things. Father, move forward on them. Bless them. Lord God, I pray that you open doors of opportunity for them, for those who are seeking. And I thank you, Lord God, once again, that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. Amen.